Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Are you ready to learn the keys to copywriting success? My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 20 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. My co-host Kate Sitars and I, along with the rest of the Filthy Rich Writer team, are sharing everything we've learned in our decades in the industry so that you can start and scale a successful copywriting business of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Hey there, Kate.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Okay, so today we are going to talk about a topic that I think that some of us don't realize is happening. And actually, I'm going to fully admit that I was just telling Kate that this past week I fell into this kind of trap myself. And it was really only when I had a moment to stop and think about why I was feeling crummy that I realized exactly what was going on. So, to end me beating around the bush, let's actually discuss the topic. We're going to talk about when copywriting inspiration can turn into comparison and all of the negative things that come when we compare ourselves to other people. But let's start about talking about the good side. So when can it be useful to be inspired by any copywriters or by other copywriters, would you say, Kate?
Yeah, for me, I try to keep it very controlled because it does, it's a fine line. And I think sometimes you don't even miss when you're slipping into comparison. You just start to feel in your gut that feeling of like, I don't feel as happy as I did 10, 15 minutes ago. What happened? What changed? So for me, it's often, you know, updating a portfolio. I feel like you can get a lot of good inspiration from other copywriters' portfolios to say, okay, I haven't updated my pieces. I know I need to add new pieces to my portfolio, but the whole thing just looks dated. How do I structure this? And so I think looking at other copywriters specifically, because we structure our portfolios in a very specific way, is helpful to get ideas of, ooh, I like how they, you know, this tool, like a slider tool. Like, I wonder if my Squarespace has that tool and I can use that to display my pieces. Or, ooh, I notice I can really read all of their copy and the piece is really big. Let me see if I can figure out what they're using so that I could use something similar. Or, ooh, I like the way they structured their about page, whatever it is, to say, okay, I'm getting some ideas for how I could lay this out. Versus if you're looking at a portfolio, for example, of a photographer or even a graphic designer, often you'll see just very like, here's the design and there's maybe no write-up or whatever. And so it can become hard to get inspiration from other professions because they set up their portfolios in a very different way. So I think that's one of the best places for me is looking at how people structure their portfolios.
Well, and you can get inspired by the kinds of things that they're posting, you know, like, oh, they posted this quote or they posted this question or, and I didn't think to be posting questions to get engagement or I loved how they, you know, they used a carousel to show the different stages of a project, something like that. So you can get inspired or more on LinkedIn, like, oh, they asked this kind of question or they've started posting blog posts. Ooh, maybe that's something that I could do. So there are plenty of ways to get
to get inspiration in terms of things that you could do to improve your own social profile, to improve your website, to improve the way that you show yourself to the world.
Yeah, I love that example of the blog post as well. Just thinking of that in particular, really any piece of content, if you're doing content creation for yourself, which again, you do not have to, you might not have I don't have a copywriting social presence. It's all personal. So, but if you do decide that route, it's nice to see ideas for topics, especially if you could say, ooh, I have a completely different take on that topic and I want to dig into this and put my own spin on it. And what's my unique take on this? Because I think that's the most important thing, to not regurgitate just because someone did it, to regurgitate the same piece and put it on your own, but really taking it to say, okay, this is a great topic, but I'm going to put my unique spin on it so that if a client sees it, and how does it benefit my audience? And always going back to that question of, oh, I like what they did, but I don't know that this serves my audience. You know, I think a lot of times copywriters speak to other copywriters versus prospective clients. And I think that's where things can get a little hairy in terms of, you know, oh, do I need to be doing this too? Wait, nope, that's not the audience I'm serving. And so always reminding yourself who you're serving and what the point of what you're doing is, mm-hmm. and how it's going to contribute to your business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now that said, it can be a slippery slope. If you are following copywriters that you admire, or really, I guess, mostly copywriters that you admire, or just other copywriters that you're out there and that you're aware of, it can be really easy to go from, oh, it's a really good idea, to I'm going to do something along those lines, to, oh, it's a really good idea. Oh, she always has good ideas. I'm always one step behind. Oh God, she's got so much of a bigger following. I'll never have that big of a following. And even when I do have that big of a following, she's still going to be so much further ahead than I'm. Oh, she's on vacation again. That picture looks so great. She's always working for someone great. She must be making so much money. She's got so many big clients, and she talks about these big projects that she closes. She must be doing so well. I just looked at her website. Her rates for doing this are so much higher than mine. I'm never going to get to that point. I'm so far behind. I'm a failure at this. Mm-hmm. I laugh because, and I hope that you guys who are listening are laughing too, but also laughing because of the recognition.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it can be so easy especially if you're having a day where you're kind of like, just kind of a down day. It can be so easy to use social media to turn that into a spiral of negativity that is very, very hard to get out of. Like, oh, mm-hmm. they're doing this, and they're doing this, and they're doing this, and they're so far ahead, and I'm never going to get there. And I want to say again, this is something that everyone experiences. Mm-hmm. I experienced this too. For whatever reason, this week I started to go down a comparison for myself, for my life, for my business. Like, I was doing full trifecta of comparison without even really realizing it. But I was feeling down and comparing myself to other people, other lives, other businesses, and you can do that at every level. You know, you might mm-hmm. say, like, Nikki K Media, I am so proud and honored to say, is a multi seven-figure per year business, and so grateful for that. But there are also, until you might say, well, what do you have to, you're doing so well. Certainly. And again, so grateful and humbled by that. But there are also businesses that are far ahead, and it's so much easier to go, oh God, they just did this. And oh my gosh, and now they're doing this. And this comparison it's not like you're going to get to a certain level in your copywriting career and be like, I'm not going to compare myself to anyone ever again. You're never going to be at the top and have no one else to compare yourself to. There's always going to be that temptation to compare yourself.
Mm-hmm. Especially because, you know, what your top is maybe not someone else's top, and what you're already at the top for someone else looking at you. And so it becomes this, there really is no universal definition of success. So there's always going to be opportunities to see different aspects of someone's life and think, oh, I like that element. And you're picking and choosing without realizing the elements of someone's life, and just kind of blanket statement, oh, I wish I was them, or I wish I had, you know, their client base. When we have no idea what kind of other struggles they're dealing with, if in fact, especially when it comes to people who are in the more influence space and trying to cultivate a specific image, particularly on social media, you know, you see a lot of the successes and you don't hear a lot of the trials and tribulations. You see what they want you to see. And even if you take a step back, it's still hard to recognize that we have no idea. Do we know if they're profitable? No, we have no idea. Do we know if the rates that they post on their site that any client actually pays them? No, we don't actually know that. Mm-hmm. And so we put a lot of projections and we put way more stock in everything we're seeing, not because we're choosing, I mean, in some ways we are choosing to, but that's why it's so important to, I know for me, all the things you said, Nikki, you know, actually articulating them, I think is helpful because for me, it's when I start to, again, have that gut feeling of, oh, I just feel heavier and I just don't feel like I'm not laughing and I'm not having a good day. Why is that? Oh, it's because 10 minutes earlier I was scrolling through Instagram and which thing made me feel this way? Oh, why is it that it made me feel this way? And actually starting to think about what are the things that are triggering these feelings that quite frankly are unnecessary. I don't need to feel this way. So why am I putting myself through this? And I know for me, my personal Instagram, I don't follow I follow Nikki, which is technically a copywriter, but I don't follow copywriting accounts. I don't follow that on my personal Instagram or social media profiles. If I want to go out, of course, you know, doing competitor research and understanding who else is out there and what's going on in the space is absolutely important, but taking control of that and doing it in a way. And for me, that's not having it just in my feed as I'm mindlessly scrolling. I can't have that when I know, as much as I try to control my Instagram intake, that I will get on the app at some point during every single day and be scrolling and forget how long I've been there. And you come out of this black hole thinking, where am I? We've all had that experience. So setting aside time for myself to say, okay, I'm going to hop on for this purpose and look at and what's going on. Okay, great. And I'm going to take myself out of that. And I'm not going to do that again for another week or 2 weeks or whatever it is. Because if I consumed it every day, I would just be in a very different headspace versus going into social media with a particular goal to say, here's what I'm looking for, set a timer and get the heck out.
Well, and being aware of your mood when you go into it too. If you're already feeling kind of crummy, maybe it's one of those days where you're feeling a lot of self-doubt, something that might not bother you on one day might trigger something for you on another. You know, you may, and again, it's very easy to look successful on Instagram with nothing to back it up. You know, we say like, well, oh, I'm offering $5,000 one day packages. And you guys know how we feel about those one day packages. But I'm offering $5,000 one day package. You're like, oh my God, this person makes $5,000 in one day. Oh, I have to work on this. You don't know if anybody's actually booking that, you know? Or you don't know how miserable that makes her so she has to take the rest of the week off because she does all of a week's work in one day.
Or they do the work with the client and the client's not happy with it because how could you possibly do quality work in one day, as you've heard us say? And you have no idea, you know, if they're just hustling and having to get clients after clients, and they have no recurring clients, which yes, always be pitching. But if you have never gotten a recurring client and you've been doing this for years, I feel like that's a red flag to me that none of your clients want to work with you again. Yeah. And so there's no way of knowing that.
Yeah. So first of all, again, very easy to look successful on Instagram. Second of all, again, you said this, Kate, and I really, really like, we hear, oh, you're only seeing people's highlight reels. It can be easy to say like, yeah, but I see all these pictures of them and this is their life. No, you are seeing a 10-second snapshot of maybe a 3-day period. And of course, they're going to post the prettiest thing. They're going to post the thing that makes them look best. They're going to post, you know, they're not going to post themselves eating cereal on the sofa with no makeup, and maybe the woman,
but are you in my house when I'm doing my copywriting work?
Let me share this picture I have of Kate in her house.
Do you know what cereal it is?
Me too.
It's life.
It's life. Oh, I thought maybe it'd be tricks. Anyway, but they're going to share the best stuff, except for sometimes when people share the photos of like themselves crying to prove that sometimes things are tough, which I think is the weirdest thing. Yeah. Oh, it's so weird. When you think like, so you're crying and your thought is to take a picture of yourself cry, like, oh, it's so weird. I find that so weird. Little digression, but I find that so weird.
But you're not performative in some aspects. If you're doing it to then post for a specific reaction, it feels disingenuous. It's it's very tricky. It's layered. Yes. There's a lot of layers to this.
Like when I genuinely feel terrible, the last thing that I want to do is take a picture of myself to prove to people that sometimes things are tough. Anyway, apologies to anyone who does that. But you're going to see only the best elements of their life. So if you are feeling a little bit crummy and you go on and you're looking at somebody else's feed, you're going to be sitting here going, I'm feeling kind of crummy. And they're in Cabo. I'm feeling kind of crummy. And they're sharing another customer testimonial. I'm feeling kind of crummy. And they just bought a new house. There's going to be nothing that is going to validate you on somebody else's feed. And on another day, when you're not feeling kind of crummy, you might be able to go on and be like, oh, that's a great, where is she staying? I want to write down that hotel name. Yeah. That looks awesome.
Good for them. They're doing this and I can do that too. If they can do it, I can do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And as much as that should be the way that we approach it, right? If somebody else is able to do something, we should be able to think of it as, hey, that's proof that it's possible, which means that I could do it too. And that really is on our best days, that should be the way that we approach it. Like I'm not going to, that person hit eight figures in their business. I'm not going to begrudge that. That is going to, or the best version of me is not going to begrudge that. It's, there's one more business that's doing eight figures, which means that we can do eight figures too. Absolutely. But on the days that we are not at our best, and again, absolutely. Try to approach it that way as proof. But there are going to be days that we're not feeling great and we're not going to be able to access that best version of ourselves. We can try, but instead it's going to make us go, all right, they're doing this. One more thing that I haven't done. One more thing that I'm falling behind on. One more thing. So and it will happen, right? It just will. There are going to be days when we're not feeling great. So my recommendation is to go get off of Instagram. If you are in that place, and I will do the same thing. I'll just pick up my phone and won't even realize that I'm on Instagram until I've been scrolling for 5 minutes and go, oh my God, I don't even remember picking up my phone. If you need to, take it off of your phone. Or keep your phone in another room or whatever. But if you are in that mind space, don't let that be your default because it's not going to soothe you or it's not going to give you a break. It's just going to make you feel worse. And especially if you're someone who does kind of tend to do a little bit of comparison, which apparently I am. I just didn't realize it as much. Or maybe I'm not, but it just for whatever reason, this past week, that's where my mind went. And it was not useful. It put me in a bad mood for about a week until I figured out that the fact that I would pull up my phone and go on Instagram whenever I had a break in the middle of the day was just contributing to me feeling crummy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you end up, all of us, because we all do it again, end up wasting time. Not only on, of course, on social media, that's not necessarily going to change. We're not going to solve that problem. But wasting time then thinking and perseverating on these thoughts without even like unconsciously and consciously just swirling. And then we're not spending the time on what actually is going to move our business forward. Even if we went there with the idea of getting inspired and thinking, well, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. I think really blocking out the noise sometimes and what do I need to do for my business? What is my big why? Why am I doing this? Do I even want to manage a social presence? Because I think that's the other thing. You see all of this and you feel like, well, I have to have one. I have to be on social media to be a successful copywriter. And the answer is no, absolutely, absolutely not. Should you be on it to understand what's going on with the platforms and to be able to write copy for all these various channels? Yes, but not in the sense of you don't need a copywriting profile that people have to follow. And then you're getting hung up on vanity metrics like likes and comments, and which doesn't actually necessarily move your business forward. So focusing on how are you getting clients? Where are you hitting your financial goals that you want to hit? Because I think that sometimes, especially when newer copywriters are starting out before you even have clients, that's what you want to focus on. And if you're going to try to land clients via Instagram, fine, but know that there's a lot of other ways you can do it, frankly, a lot faster than creating content that is going to maybe serve you in the long run, but doesn't necessarily have a direct bottom line impact. That's mm-hmm. a lot harder to draw and connect what you're, the work you're doing on Instagram and things you're posting on Instagram to landing clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we talk a lot about protecting yourself as the business owner and protecting your time and setting up boundaries. And I think sometimes we think boundaries with clients, yes, and boundaries with family and boundaries with friends. And, but we also have to have boundaries with ourselves, for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we have to monitor what's good for us and what isn't good for us. As much as we say, you know, structure your day so that you use your best energy when you're naturally, you need to think of your energy in terms too of things that increase your energy, improve your energy, improve how you're feeling, and things that drain it. And if you, and you need to monitor that, because if you find that you are going on Instagram and when you come on Instagram, you get off, you kind of go, if Instagram or whatever platform, TikTok, Facebook, whatever, wherever you go on the internet or whatever it is that you do throughout your day, if you're finding that you do things that drain your energy, that kind of make you feel a little crummy, or that you don't have time for that. You don't have time to be knocked out of your game for an hour or 2 hours during the day because now you feel bad about, because yes, it's really hard. If you go on Instagram and you see this other copy artist doing this stuff, well, I'm not doing this stuff. If you're feeling bad, it's hard to get back down to work, right? It's hard to go, oh yeah, you know, now that I'm feeling bad, I'm going to go pitch some clients. Now that I'm feeling bad, I'm going to go work on this project. I'm going to go work on my website. No. When you are feeling crummy, you may not be able to actually do anything for a couple of hours at the least until you can get yourself feeling better again. Mm-hmm. You don't have the luxury of giving your energy and your happiness away to strangers on Instagram who don't even know that they've got it now. Yeah. But you don't have that luxury. You have to protect your energy, and you have to protect your mood, the way that you feel, as much as possible. And so if you find that going on Instagram makes you feel crummy, then you have to stop doing that as much. Or if you find that usually going on Instagram on most days is totally fine, as is the case with me, if you happen to be maybe just feeling a little crummy when you woke up on the wrong side of the bed or whatever, maybe don't go on Instagram that day. Don't let things on Instagram, or again, whatever social platform, whatever, don't let that turn, I just kind of woke up in a little bit of a mood. Don't let that turn that mood into an hours or days long thing. We have to be self-aware enough to notice what is good for us and notice what isn't good for us and set up those boundaries with ourselves. Like, well, yeah, but I always go on Instagram first thing in the morning. Okay, sure. But if you're feeling kind of crummy this morning, don't go on Instagram. Do something else. Maybe shoot an email to a friend of yours or call your best friend or something like that. But you have to protect your energy and your mood and your focus because nobody else is going to do it for you. If anything, all the social media sites, the internet, it's designed to steal your energy and steal your focus. So you have to protect it because nobody else is going to do it for you.
I think the other thing too, on the other hand, even if you're feeling in a good mood and you hop on Instagram, I think, and you maybe you find something that you find inspiring, I think the other thing that can end up happening, and you should start to notice, is if you go to then write copy and you're comparing it to some other project you saw someone do or some other copy you saw someone write, and then it becomes, oh, well, my headline's not as funny or as clever as their headline, or it's not as punchy, or this kind of stinks. Theirs was so much better. You have a totally different creative brief. You have a totally different client, most likely. You have a totally different assignment, and the tone of the client might not be clever. It might not warrant a clever headline. And so not comparing what you're writing to what someone else has written. Mm-hmm. You need to be comparing your writing to the creative brief and nothing else. There's no sense to, if you're the type of person, also why I don't, you know, I don't like looking at other people's copy, because then that's all is in my head is that other line. And then it's like, well, how do I come up with a line now if I'm just thinking about what they wrote? You know, sometimes it can be helpful if it jogs your brain to go in a different direction, but sometimes it can just lock you into thinking of nothing else but that line. And so be very, very cautious of comparing any of your actual written work to someone else's written work.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm smiling because this really was very, I don't know why it took me this long to figure it out, but very big comparison week, because I was reading a novel this week and I got into that place of like, oh, this is so good. I really love it. This is so good. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. I'll never write anything like this. What's the point of even writing something if it's just going to be totally mediocre? I'll never be like, wow, big, big comparison week for me. But have you ever done the same thing, Kate?
Oh, of course. Yeah, all the time. We were talking about this before we started recording about writing and how we both have writing goals, you know, for novels, plays, whatever they might be. And just sometimes to get started, because you're like, well, we already did it and they did it better. So
Which we know is
just logically not.
Exactly.
Doesn't hold up in our brains, but
yeah, and sure, you guys are writers, you may have done the same thing, but there's so many opportunities for comparison to sneak in. And it's, the thing is we're all building different houses, right? Mm-hmm. We're not all building, you know, those subdivisions where every house is exactly the same. That's not the world that we're living in. We are all building different houses, and they're all going to look different. They're all going to look completely different. They're all going to be different size. Our house
Mine's
is
got
gonna
mixed
look totally
medium.
Different. Exactly.
I've got stone. I've got brick. I've got wood. I'm using all the materials in my house.
And mine is just, but we're all doing different things, and they're all going to end up looking totally different, and they're all going to have different additions and different colors and different, and then maybe they're going to change as we build them. An addition. I know, right? Mm. Mine'll have a pool. But so because we're all building different things, you're not comparing apples to apples, right? If we were all building the same house, then yes, you could be like, oh yes, well, they're literally ahead of me because they've put the floor in the second bedroom, and you know, but you can't do that because we're all building different houses. So you can't compare their house with your house, because their end result is going to be something that's totally different from your end result.
And you want that. And you don't want to have the same end result. Otherwise, why should a client choose you over another copywriter if you look exactly like everyone else out in the space?
Mm-hmm. And if your life is exactly like someone else's, you know, it's not just your copywriting career that you're building a different house. Mm-hmm. You're building a different house in your entire life is a different house. And you have elements that other people won't have. They will have elements that you won't have. But it all comes down to the decisions that we make and the way we want our houses to look. And so you can't directly compare. And I know that this does not mean that you're going to stop comparing. And I certainly know that this does not mean that I'm going to stop comparing. However, we're recording this episode. So to put these thoughts in your mind, just to plant them in your mind, and also to give you something to come back and listen to when that comparison starts to sneak up. You know, in the CCA, you guys know that we have our bust through fears and blocks course, and we always say, right, come back to this when you need it. When you're feeling a little down, when you're feeling some self-doubt, come back and go through this again. Because as human beings, we can be like, yeah, I know that. I've heard that before. I know that. But unless you are actually practicing it every moment, you need to hear it again. And quite frankly, part of the reason that we're recording this is because I clearly needed to hear this again and to say it and to teach it to you guys or to discuss it with Kate, because it's something that it's very easy to get sucked into until you go, wait, no. All right, let me think this through again. Oh yeah. We're all building different houses. It's very easy to look successful on Instagram. Mm-hmm. They might be doing things people are only posting the good things. Mm-hmm. They're not posting, you know, we have to hear it again and again. But the best way to prevent as much as possible going down that rabbit hole of comparison is to be aware of your mood and be aware of what you are consuming. When you have that downtime, what are you putting in? It's when you have downtime, what are you putting into your mind, right? It's like being aware of what you're putting into your body with your lunch, your dinner, whatever. You want to put in as healthy a food as possible. It's the same thing with Same thing with the things that you consume when it comes to Instagram, with social media, movies, podcasts, all that kind of stuff. Make sure that you're consuming the stuff that's going to make you feel better and that's going to truly inspire you, and get rid of the stuff that might tempt you into that comparison. And like Kate said, if you don't need to be following other copywriters. Yes, certainly if you're like, it does benefit me a lot to have that, that inspiration. Awesome. If that truly works for you, then great, good for you. But if more often than not, you're finding that that inspiration is actually comparison, stop following them. You don't need that to come up in your feed. You don't want that to come up in your feed. Change it to hotels that you want to go stay at, or restaurants that you want to go eat at, or all kinds of things that actually make you feel good, that make you go, oh,
cats and dogs and goats and baby pigs.
Right. I mean, my mother's love language, we have discovered, is sharing reels of really cute dogs. So fill it with cute dogs, fill it with, you know, all those good news, channels, posts, that kind of thing. Happy children. Make sure that when you go on Instagram, it's stuff that, or, you know, business advice. There's a lot of good business advice stuff out there. If you want it to be a little bit more constructive, then great. Mix in some business advice stuff that makes you go, ooh, I could be doing that. As long as it doesn't make you feel bad. There's no point in going on Instagram or any of these things if they make you feel bad.
Yeah, no, I think the business and marketing advice in general is a helpful direction if you don't need copywriting specifically to get inspiration, to stay in touch with what's going on in the space. So I think if it's a layer removed by following marketers and business owners that aren't doing exactly what it is that you do, that can definitely help with some separation and tone down the comparison at the very least, to say, okay, they're doing something completely different than me, but I still can get inspiration from what they're sharing, what they're posting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I also we will link to it in the show notes, our episode about copywriting metrics, because I think the other reminder of this is, again, it's easy for people to look successful. It's easy for people to post whatever they want. And in that episode, we dig into, you know, copywriters that share, I'm responsible for $13 million in sales or whatever. I had this conversion rate of 15% on this sales page or whatever it is. You don't know how many people went through that sales page, you know, to have whatever conversion rate. But, and then also on the millions of dollars aspect, so many people are involved. This is a team sport. Marketing is a team sport. Copywriter, we are one player on the marketing team. And so these numbers mean nothing is all that's to say. So dig into that metrics episode, because I think it's a good companion in terms of understanding some of what you might see out in the world and might hold yourself to or compare yourself to when, you know, again, your client is totally different than their client, and the numbers aren't going to be apples to apples by any means.
Yeah. Be discerning with everything that you take in, right? Take it all with a grain of salt, or at the very least think, now what exactly are they saying here? And what does that mean? Be discerning. Is it a lot easier to just consume with our minds turned off and believe everything everybody says? Of course it is. But be discerning. You will end up a lot happier in the long run. Let's face it, there is times when we need time off, right? We need to just rest, and we need to not have to be responsible or any of those things, the sitting on the sofa eating cereal. But scrolling on social media, watching, I guess, depending on what you're watching, but, you know, going on the internet, that's actually not one of those times that we can kind of just let our guard down. It's not. We need to be taking care of ourselves and being discerning, because nobody else is going to do it for us. And in fact, you know, I feel like it's more and more we're understanding just exactly how damaging the algorithms on all of these social media platforms actually are to the human mind and to what we see and believe and all that kind of thing.
We keep running back to them.
That we do. So with all of this said, keep what you want of social media. Keep the stuff that makes you feel good and that makes you feel happy. But eliminate the stuff that makes you feel makes you feel that comparison.
Less than,
that you're never going to get there, that you're not as good, that it's something's not possible for you. Eliminate that because you don't need that.
Yeah.
That
kind you of stuff are as is, good.
You are as good. And you can
I shouldn't even say as good. You're different. You have your own space. Yeah. I shouldn't even say that.
Exactly. You're building your own type of house.
Own house. Yeah.
There's nothing to benefit you from going down that comparison route. I know some people are like, well, no, that motivates me. Okay, but then that's different. You are comparing yourself and you're getting a positive result from that. And if that genuinely works for you, absolutely. I think it works for a lot fewer people than we think it does. So monitor yourself. But if that does work for you, awesome. If that lights a fire under you to see what other people are doing, great. But if it doesn't, stop looking at it. Because nobody else is going to protect you and you have to protect yourself. Without you, there is no business. Without you, there is no you. You have to protect yourself. And that's really, I think, what all of this comes down to is you have to not just protect yourself, not just protect your time, not just protect, but you have to protect your emotions and your energy because nobody else is going to do that for you either. So with that, the homework I have for you is to go to Instagram and maybe unfollow a couple of accounts that don't make you feel good. I promise you, you're not going to miss anything. Oh, I need to see their next trip. No, you don't.
You won't even miss it.
Know. Yeah.
Try it for a week or two and see if you even realize
exactly.
It.
Go unfollow a couple of accounts that make you feel crummy. So that's what we have for you. Check back in and let us know that you've done it. I actually going to do the exact same thing right now. I'm going to allow myself to be on Instagram for 3 minutes. I'm going to set a timer.
And I'm going watch
to
her.
Yes, and I'm going to unfollow 3 accounts. So when you guys have done it, check back in and let us know that you have, and let us know if that's made any kind of difference or if it's kind of maybe a little bit of a light bulb for you today. And so with that, we will catch you guys in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Like what you heard? Subscribe to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast so you never miss any copywriting tips, tools, or tactics. And if you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at freecopywritingtraining.com. We'll catch you in the next episode.